used to have a Jufro. He was born and raised out in the town of LA. That's where he went to UCLA, got his MBA. Produced his first film at age 24. That's when he really started to score.
Well, thank you again, Arnie Sallon, for my Father's Day rap. That is Arnie Sallon, my son, who's heading to his sophomore year at the Berklee College of Music. We are continuing now with Dr. Jennifer Weberman and her suggestions on how to fight entitlement in our kids. Dr. Weberman is a psychologist and parent coach. She has a website called theparentingplayground.com, and she's been a regular on my show for over a year now. Welcome to part two of Therapy Talk with Dr. Jennifer Weberman. Hi, Dr. Weberman.
Hi. I'm glad we're able to finish this list. It's a good one.
All right. Let's continue. What are we on to?
Well, we're on number three, but really number three for me is the most important. Don't teach your children that being uncomfortable is bad.
Oh, gosh. Is that true?
It's so true. And we do it all the time. That includes rescuing them when they're in trouble, giving them what they need when they're upset, fighting battles for them that they can learn to fight for themselves. It includes not following through on consequences because, you know, you feel guilty that you're torturing them. You know, we can't teach them that the world will bend to their needs, and we can't teach them that feeling uncomfortable is a scary or bad thing. Imagine if every time a person felt uncomfortable, he perceived that as a sign that they were about to grow or learn a new lesson. How different someone's life would be if that were the interpretation, instead of being uncomfortable is bad and I need to do something to numb it or stop it.
Very wise. Very wise.
Do you agree?
I really agree. I've actually been dealing with that with my older son, who's been having some issues that have made him uncomfortable. And I've told him to kind of sit with it, learn from it, figure out, you know, and I'm not going to fix it for him. He's also 19 and a half, so it's like my job of fixing should be over. I could give counsel, but fixing is not in my job description for a grown adult.
Absolutely. And what he can get out of that by sitting with it and coming up with his own solutions is worth more than anything you could tell him to do.
Good.
All right. Next.
Yes, please.
Fostering gratitude and appreciation. I think everyone knows that that's important, but maybe the how is not so easily understood. And there's a lot of different ways that you can foster gratitude and appreciation in your family. I think volunteering as a family is really important, not as a punishment for entitlement, not just for your bar mitzvah project that one year, but as a regular practice. It really is an expression of gratitude because you're able to say, this is what I can do because I'm so blessed in my life to make a contribution to my community or to others. I think keeping gratitude journals, having gratitude conversations at the dinner table is really important. Being mindful of how much you're complaining, because a complaint is the opposite of gratitude.
I never complain. I mean, never. You know,
it's a bad thing to do. You just have to be mindful of it.
Well, and in moderation. Dennis Prager, who's a mentor of mine, has written a book about happiness called Happiness is a Serious Problem. And his number one premise is that gratitude is the single biggest ingredient to happiness. So I completely agree with him. I also think that if you could teach your kids to pay it forward, that works really wonders. I had an experience yesterday that just felt so good, and it was an in-the-moment opportunity. I was going into a Starbucks. I wanted a coffee, and there was clearly an auto repair worker, Hispanic gentleman wearing one of those shirts that had an insignia of like a car company on it and then his name next to it, and he was holding the door open for a woman who was leaving, and as I approached, he was held the door open for me. As a result, he ended up two or three back of me in line, even though he had been so generous as to hold the door. So I just looked at him and I thought, God, what a nice thing. So when I got up to get my coffee, I told the waitress, you know, I'm paying for his coffee too. And when he got up to pay for his coffee and she said, no, that gentleman paid for it, I said, you just did a good thing, so I want to do the thing. He had this big grin on his face. I mean, it cost me a whopping $2, but the feeling was just great. It was great. And if our kids can learn that feeling, it would be wonderful.
And you have no idea, Bruce, what that did for him for the rest of the day. and then how that impacted other people in
exactly.
his life.
Exactly.
And how far it moves forward. You will never know.
Well, I know it did good. If nothing else, for me. And that's part of the thing that we can teach our kids, that doing good for others really does good for you. So do it for selfish reasons.
Mm-hmm.
You will
Absolutely.
Feel better. We only have 2 minutes left. Quickly get through whatever you have left because I want to get your wisdom.
Okay. So the last one is about limiting media exposure. And everyone knows that that's really good advice, but what does that have to do with entitlement? It's not just in the amount, like how many hours they're spending on screens, but it's in the type of media, the content, and the setting. So, for example, setting. If your child does not greet people or look them in the eye because they're using their iPad, then they are not demonstrating the maturity for the device in that particular setting. Content. If your five-year-old is watching Pretty Little Liars, you may want to consider the values that you're teaching her about friendships and loyalty and all sorts of things like that. At such a formative age. The type, you have to know that a lot of the eye devices are tailored specifically to us as an individual, so the apps and the settings and all of that. So that's a lot of instant gratification, and it's a lot of the world is sort of catering to what I need in this moment. And so the more they're exposed to that, the more the expectation's valid that I expect other things in the world to be catered to my needs. I expect my boss, my job, my school environment to be catered to my needs because that's what they're exposed to. So it's really important to limit the media exposure for those reasons.
That's all fine and good, but let's talk about me now. I adore you, Dr. Weberman. We're out of time, but do tell our listeners where they can find you, please.
I blog at theparentingplayground.com. I am on Facebook under the same name. And on Twitter, I am DR_Weberman. And I will be at Dad Chat tonight with you.
And I hope next week with Angela Myers. Thank you so much. Once again, you have unbelievable blog material. You got to get writing, my dear.
I started with your advice.
Okay, and I'm happy to edit anything. If you want feedback, I'll be happy
phenomenal.
To edit. Okay, stay tuned for my closing remarks. Thank you, Dr. Weberman. We'll be back after these messages.
The positive, eliminate the negative. Latch on to the affirmative. Don't mess with Mr. In-Between.